There were strange goings on in a ramshackle old farmhouse in 1847 in the little village of Hydeville, New York. The house had been purchased by a family by the name of Fox. After moving into it, they began to hear strange noises in various parts of the house. Rappings, rattlings, shakings, movement. On occasion, objects would fly across the home from one room to another. On occasion, there were strange and weird voices which seemed to be coming from various parts of the house. Finally, Kate, who was one of the Fox sisters, decided that she would try to make contact with the individual whom she called Old Splitfoot. And so she devised a code, a means of speaking with this personage who was filling the house by rapping. One rap meant something, two raps meant something else. And she began to communicate with this individual. The man said that his name was Charles Rosmont, a peddler who had been murdered in this home a number of years prior to this time, and that his body was buried beneath the basement. Excavation later on did find the remains of a body there, but the happenings and the strange, weird things continued. And the Fox sisters became internationally famous, were interviewed and traveled and wrote. And this was the beginning of what we call modern spiritism. From this small and unlikely beginning, an entire movement has come. An entire church, if we could call it that, and they do call themselves that, the National Spiritualist Church, folks who follow this particular line of thought call themselves spiritualists. We, however, will refer to them tonight as spiritists. There is nothing spiritual about what they are doing, but they are spiritists. What are their claims? What are their background? Well, spiritists claim that they make contact with the unseen dead. This is accomplished through what they call a medium, generally a woman, but not always. A medium is a person who is a medium or a go-between, supposedly, between the living and the dead. The medium generally establishes contact with the dead through what is called a séance. It is the French word for sitting. The medium and generally a few other people sit around a table usually or in a room in a configuration that is prescribed by the medium. And efforts are made to contact departed spirits. And many strange things happen when these seances are held. Spiritists claim to produce visions of the dead. Some of you will recall James Pike, an Episcopal priest, who, after his son died, made repeated efforts to contact him, and finally wrote a best-selling book called The Other Side. And in this book, Bishop James Pike, who of course was an apostate from the truth of God, described what he called actual contacts with the dead, with his own son and others, that he had made. As a matter of fact, he had one seance with a famous British medium, which was telecast over British TV, in which such efforts were made. You recall that James Pike died under very strange circumstances, as he was in a remote area near the Dead Sea in the land of Israel. Mary Jane Pike, his wife, claimed later that she had special revelations of his departure and that she saw a vision of her husband leaving this earth. Strange and weird things, you say, yes, but these are claims of spiritists. They also claim to produce writing from the dead. That is, spiritist mediums, in a trance and supposedly under the control of the spirits of departed dead ones, write things. There was a woman in Europe a few years ago who had they call them a guide. This is the term they use to refer to spirits who have departed. Had a guide whose name was Felix. She was a simple farm woman who could hardly read or write and had no formal education. But to the astonishment of observers who checked on her, she would sometimes sit down in a darkened room. Something or someone would take control of her hand and move the pencil across the page, and she produced very scholarly manuscripts that astounded even the greatest professors in Europe. She had no background for that, but she did it. Spiritist mediums still do that today. They use generally what's called a planchet. It's a board with casters on it, which has embedded in it a pencil or a pen. And in the trance and in the seance, the medium will place his or her hand lightly upon that planchet, and after a while it will begin to move and it will begin to write messages. These are the claims of spiritists. They also claim to produce materializations of the dead. This is perhaps one of the most astounding claims that spiritists make. For instance, in 1953, in the little town of Epperta, Pennsylvania, a medium by the name of Ethel Post Parrish agreed to go into a trance and to attempt to cause a materialization of her guiding spirit while cameras clicked. And an elaborate array of cameras was set up with infrared film, and at 50-second intervals they went off for quite a period of time. And while Ethel Post Parrish sat in a curtained enclosure, a mysterious substance, which spiritists refer to as ectoplasm, a kind of a gauze-like luminous substance that flows out of, or at least seems to flow out of, the body of the medium, came out from under the curtain of that enclosure where she sat. And while the cameras took these pictures, a form materialized, which she said was her guiding spirit, a rather attractive young lady. 81 persons viewed this, and some of us have in our possession those pictures which were taken, or copies of them. And these persons, some of them even said that they walked with this spirit being and held on to this spirit being, so-called, during that particular seance. Spiritists also claim to produce apparitions of the dead. Some years ago, in a small village in Germany, a very pious and seemingly godly woman had a strange and strong desire to see her departed husband. Her husband had died an infidel and a blasphemer. He was a drunkard. He was a very wicked and foul-mouthed man. But she wanted to see him, and she wanted to see him. Finally, one day, there came to her home a strange woman whom she did not know. The woman said, "You want to see your departed husband?" "Yes," she said. "I will arrange it. You come to my home at such and such a time," which the woman did. A seance was held. And all of a sudden, in the midst of that seance, the entire wall of the room was alive with light, like a great TV screen. And out of that light, there came riding toward that startled woman, her husband. But he had a contorted face, a weird and awful and horrible countenance. And he was riding upon a goat. But there he came out of that wall. The vision finally disappeared, and the woman went back to her home, but she was never the same. She had hallucinations. She had no more desire for spiritual things, to go to church or read the Bible. And she died mentally deranged. I say, dear friends, that these things must be faced by Christian people. Somebody says it's all a hoax. Somebody laughs at it. It's nothing to laugh at. These are very serious matters. The claims of spiritists. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 1, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. I'm reading 1 John 4, verse 2. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. There are dark spirits, there are lying spirits, there are wicked spirits, there are demonic spirits that fill this earth and are bent upon opposing God and His truth and His people. And John says in this passage, don't you believe every spirit, but you test the spirits, whether they be of God. What do spirits believe about God? These so-called spirits of departed dead ones, what messages do they bring, and what do they believe about God? Well, hear this one. The doctrine of the Trinity seems to have no adherence in advanced circles of the spirit world, says one great British medium. The doctrine of the Trinity has no adherence among the advanced circles of the spirit world. In other words, so-called departed spirits do not believe in the triune God. Well, he says to test the spirits. What does God say in Matthew chapter 28, in that great commission, as we call it? Jesus' words, Matthew 28:19. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please notice that it is not the names of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This, by the way, is one reason that we do not practice triune baptism or triune immersion, as it is sometimes called, as some groups do. That is, they baptize a person three times, they put them under the water three times. It is a violation of the type of baptism. It is also a violation of the statement of Scripture in this passage. It does not say the names, plural. It says the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why is it put that way? Because there is only one God, name singular. He exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The spirits who state there is no Trinity are directly contradicting the Bible. Test the spirits, whether they be of God. What do these spirits believe about Christ? Hear one of the reports from the other world, so-called. It seems, nevertheless, that all the testimony received from advanced spirits, I might say that spiritists believe that spirits are in different stages of enlightenment and advances. Some are in the first stage, and some are in the second sphere, and the third sphere, and so on. An advanced spirit shows that Christ was a medium and a reformer in Judea. Jesus Christ was a medium, a spiritist medium, according to this. That he is now an advanced spirit in the sixth sphere. Listen to this. Tom Paine is in the seventh sphere, one above our Lord. You know who Tom Paine was? One of the greatest blasphemers who ever lived upon this earth. Wrote books against the Bible, mocked the Word of God. Says Tom Paine is in the seventh sphere, one sphere above Jesus Christ. Christ was a good man, but he could not have been divine. Test the spirits, whether they be of God. What does Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 say about the Lord Jesus Christ? These supposed departed spirits say the Lord Jesus Christ was not God, nor was he deity. He was simply a medium who was making his advancement through the various spheres. Here is what the Scripture says, Hebrews 1, verse 5. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today have I become your father? Or again, I will be his father, and he will be my son. Verse 8, but about the Son, he says, your throne, oh, God will last forever and ever. What is the statement here? That Jesus Christ is God. Your throne, oh God, is forever and ever. Thou art Christ, Peter said. Christ. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus Christ is God. A person who's going to go to heaven must believe that Christ is God, among other things, or he cannot go to heaven. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. What do these blasphemous spirits believe about salvation? Here's what one spirit said. Each must work out his own salvation. Each has an equal opportunity to do this when he shall have atoned for the wrongs and overcome the temptations and allurements to the sense gratifications of earth life. I have to work, and I have to work, and I have to work, and I have to do. And everybody has to work equally hard if they are going to receive the prize, according to this passage, or this statement. But what does Ephesians chapter 2 declare? You know it as well as I do, I'm sure. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Test the spirits, whether they be of God. Where do I test them? In the holy book of God. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. The so-called departed spirit says you have to work to go to heaven. The Bible says you cannot work to go to heaven. You must receive salvation as a free gift. And if you would go to heaven, this is the way you go, by receiving from God, because of the payment of Jesus Christ, a free gift of salvation, which he will give you tonight if you will receive him as your personal Savior. What does the Bible say further about spiritism and contacting the dead? Our passage in 1 John says we ought to test the spirits, whether they be of God. Let's look back at Leviticus a moment. Let's look at a number of verses in the Word of God. Leviticus chapter 19 is the first one. Leviticus 19, verse 31. God consistently taught his ancient people things they ought to do and things they ought not to do. We mentioned that in our message this morning. Here in Leviticus 19:31, God said to his ancient people, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. I believe in the King James, perhaps it says familiar spirits and wizards. Mediums and spiritists. Now the word ob, the Hebrew word that's translated medium or familiar spirit in some translations, means an evil spirit. It is notably and commonly used in the Old Testament for an evil spirit. We are talking here about something that is evil. Now spiritists will often try to claim that the spirits that they contact are good spirits. They are helpful spirits. They want to teach us higher things and better things. This is their claim. But the word that is used in the Bible for them means an evil spirit, not a good spirit. And of course, if you just read the context here, it says you'll be defiled by them. Well, good spirits don't defile us. Here we're talking about evil spirits and wicked spirits who speak through the body and through the mouth of a medium. They're evil spirits. Now, the word rendered medium here, or rendered spiritist, sometimes rendered wizard in the King James Version, has the idea of a knowing one. A spirit who is very cunning, a spirit who is very smart, a spirit who has a lot of inside information, if you please. And that's why it's rendered sometimes wizard. We are dealing, dear friends, with wicked spirits who have a lot of knowledge. Let us not make fun of this. This is not something to poo-poo or to smile about. This is a very serious matter. These spirits, these wicked spirits, are very intelligent. They are fallen angels, as a matter of fact. And when created by the hand of God, they received all the wisdom that an infinite God could give them as created beings. They still have it. They still have it, even though they have rebelled against their holy maker. They still possess this cunning, this wisdom, but they have prostrated it to evil ends. But they are knowing spirits. Now also, we have the rendering familiar spirit. Here it's rendered medium. What is meant by that, a familiar spirit? Well, the idea of the word is that some people have a spirit that is familiar. That is, it's an old pal. It's a spirit that visits them regularly. It is a spirit with whom they're familiar, and the spirit is familiar with them. They have allowed that spirit to become their friend, quote unquote. We can use that term. And so the spirit comes and the spirit goes and speaks through this individual who is called a medium, as I've said. Now, what does God say? He says, don't you turn to mediums or seek out spiritists. Look over at chapter 20, verse 27, the last verse of that chapter. Leviticus 20, 27. A man or woman who is a medium or a spiritist among you must be put to death. You are to stone them. Their blood will be upon their own heads. God indicates here that spiritism and mediumship is very serious. And God said, if you find someone in the fellowship of Israel that is practicing this, they are worthy of the death penalty. Put them to death. That makes it a rather serious thing, does it not? I want to tell you, friends, this is nothing to monkey around with. Don't try your Ouija boards on a bet or a dare. Don't play with your tarot cards. Don't get involved in these wicked things, because you can be ensnared in your Christian life and ruined for all your life by these wicked spirits. God knows what He's speaking about, and thus He gives us warning. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. You see the tribes that surrounded Israel, the heathen nations that surrounded Israel, practiced and dabbled in these wicked arts. And, of course, that's still true in many parts of the world today. It's not uncommon at all in other lands. And God was warning and protecting His people here in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 and following. He says, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. May I stop and say that you as a Christian don't need to try to find out more about what I'm preaching on tonight. I say that to you young people especially. You may want to go down the library somewhere and delve around, or bookshops, which are full of this junk, some of them. You don't need any more information about it than what you're getting here tonight. God says, don't learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, which was common in many heathen cultures, who practices divination or sorcery, forms of black magic, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Or you could translate the or even who consults the dead, referring to the mediums and the spiritists. God says, don't you try to contact the dead. That's firm and definite. And while it's given in the Old Testament law, God has not retracted it. It's just as valid today as it was when it was written. Don't you make any effort to contact the dead. I say that very strongly because sometimes Christians kind of get their curiosity up. I wonder what this is like. Maybe I ought to go over to this seance. Maybe I ought to visit this gypsy medium. Maybe I ought to go over here and have a little fun with the Ouija board and my friends. You leave it alone. They are detestable practices in the eyes of God, especially those who consult the dead. Look at Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. God is not done yet. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 and following, he gives us a further warning. He says, when men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, these are words with onomatopoeia. Some of you English scholars can explain to your friends after what that is. But that's a word that sounds like what it expresses or defines. And so he uses two Hebrew words to try to describe in the word what the medium sounds like. And those who have heard them say their voice sounds very ethereal and sometimes very high pitched and sometimes very low pitched, but it's not a common and ordinary voice normally. Now, as I say, I've never heard them, and don't you go to hear them either, but that's what we're told by those who have heard. They whisper and they mutter. Should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Well, the answer of spiritists to that is that the dead are wiser. Having passed through various spheres of existence and can teach us and be our guide to higher things, that is absolutely false. But that is the answer they give. But God asks the question, why consult the dead on behalf of the living? What should we consult? Verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. To the law and to the testimony. Where should we go for information about how to live? To the Bible. The law and the testimony are words describing the Old Testament scriptures. Where should I go to get information? Should I try to consult my dead uncle? Should I try to get in touch with my dead mother or father? Why, no. I ought to read the Bible. To the law and to the testimony. God has given us within the pages of His Word all the information it is His will for us to have at this time. If God had wanted us to have other information, He would have given us more of it in the Bible. But He has given us what He wants us to have. Oh, you say, but the Bible doesn't answer all my questions. No, that's true. But it answers all the questions you need to have an answer to at this particular time. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. And God has not been pleased to reveal all of His secrets to us. But we have all we need in this book to the law and to the testimony. Let us not seek lying spirits, but let us seek to the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel 28. The probably strongest biblical passage which is produced by spiritists in support of their position is this passage, 1 Samuel chapter 28. It tells the wretched and fearful story of a man who had turned his back upon the Lord. I tell you something right now before I even explain this passage, that this is a very weak foundation upon which to build a theological premise. Here was a man who was out of fellowship with God. His name was Saul. Here was a man who was walking in disobedience to the Lord. Brother, I wouldn't follow him and imitate him for anything. What a ridiculous passage to cite for our emulation. But you remember the story, no doubt. The Bible tells us that after Samuel died, Saul was beside himself as to how he could lead the nation. Verse 3 says that all Israel mourned for Saul and buried him in his own town of Ramah. And Saul had expelled the mediums and spiritists from the land. Now, he did this while Samuel was living. Samuel was a great bulwark of righteousness and godliness and a help to Saul when he would allow him to be. And no doubt under his direction, he had given an edict that all mediums and spiritists were to flee from the land and not practice their black art. And they had done this. But the Bible tells us in verse 4 and following that the Philistines came up in great numbers against Israel. Verse 6 says, Saul inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams, which sometimes God did, though He does not reveal Himself that way now. By Urim, that was a method by which the Old Testament high priest determined the will of God for the people. Or by prophets, nothing could get no answer from God. I taught in my class this morning, Sunday school class, about why God does not answer prayer. Why didn't God hear Saul? Hasn't God promised to answer prayer? Saul was walking in blatant disobedience to the Lord. And don't you think for one moment, friend, that you can crank up a prayer or two and send it up to glory and get it answered. If you are walking in blatant disobedience to the will of God, God's not going to hear you. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's exactly what happened here. He couldn't get any answer from God. So verse 7 tells us that he said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her." And they said, "There's one in Endor, the witch of Endor, the medium of Endor." And so Saul disguised himself, went down to the woman's house, and he said, "I want you to call up Samuel. I need to talk to Samuel. I need some help. I've got to have someone rise from the dead. The only one I know to come is Samuel." And so the woman heard his plea, and verse 12 says, she started. She didn't even have time to begin her wicked machinations and to set her seance. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice. She said, "You are Saul. Why have you deceived me?" The woman didn't bring Saul or Samuel back from the dead. The woman was about to practice her black art in hopes that her guiding spirit, so-called, would come to her rescue, and purporting to be the departed Samuel would satisfy King Saul. But her seance was interrupted by the Almighty, which is indicated, I think, by her reaction. Something happened that she had never seen happen before. Now, she claimed all these years to bring forth departed spirits, but she'd never done it. Samuel came up, and Saul said, "What do you see?" "I see an old man coming up with his robe around him out of the earth." "Well, brother, that's about enough for a heart attack for that spiritus." The woman did not bring Samuel back from the dead. God did. And this is the only time in the inspired record where we have any such indication of it. The only place in the Bible. And dear friends, it's no place in the Bible that we ought to cite as God's approval upon spiritism. It's just the opposite. But Samuel came all right. He had a brief conversation with Saul, which was not pleasurable for Saul. And he said, "Saul, you are doomed." Back he went, and Saul never saw him again. Now, dear friends, do you want to know what God thought about this? Well, if you turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 10, you'll find out. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13 and following. 1 Chronicles 10, verse 13. Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. I believe Saul is a picture of the believer who walks in the flesh, one of the most blatant illustrations of it in the Bible. He died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord, and he even consulted a medium for guidance. And he did not inquire of the Lord. So the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. This passage tells us that God hates spiritism. This passage tells us that God killed Saul because he dared to try to consult the dead and disobeyed the word of God. This passage tells us that God is opposed to any effort to contact the dead. Is it possible to do that? Despite the fact that it's wrong, is it possible to do it? I give you two passages which I believe illustrate that it is not. Revelation chapter 6 is the first one. Revelation chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. God allows John to see beyond death. I say he allows John to see beyond death. He opens the curtains of the glory world for a brief moment. John records here what he saw, Revelation 6, 9. "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they'd maintained. And they called in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each one of them was given a white robe. And they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. These are tribulation saints, people who will die as martyrs during the reign of the Antichrist and the awful time of tribulation. John sees them for a brief moment in the glory. Please notice where they are. They are righteous dead. They are in heaven. They are there permanently. They are not shades walking around in the misty darkness of the netherworld. They are not moving around upon earth in some kind of a mystical fashion, seeking to invade the lives of people or to come at the beck and call of mediums. No, no. No, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And righteous dead are with the Lord, and they're going to stay there. It says here they were told to wait a little longer. Just you wait. Said you stay right here because it's not time yet for God's judgment to be completed and God's kingdom to be established. You just wait here. Where are the righteous dead? They are with the Lord. So the spirits that supposedly invade and speak through the bodies of mediums are certainly not righteous spirits, because righteous spirits are with the Lord. What about wicked spirits? Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. In this passage, through the teaching of Christ, we again look beyond this life into the world of departed spirits, if we want to call it that. In Luke chapter 16, verse 19, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. And there was a beggar, the scripture says, that begged at his gate. And the Bible tells us in verse 22 that the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. That's a figure of the place of bliss for Old Testament saints. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. And he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." What does Abraham say? Verse 26, "Between us and you, a great gulf or a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can any cross over from there to us." What is taught here? That our abode in the afterlife is permanent. We do not have even wicked spirits of departed dead who have lived upon this earth coming back. Where are they? They are incarcerated in an awful place of punishment. God help us if there should be any in this auditorium tonight who are headed there, or any listening on the radio who are headed there, to that awful place of fire, to that awful place of torment where wicked people go who have rejected God and His Son. There is such a place, my dear friend, and if you continue on in your unrepentant life, in your wicked life, you will go to that awful place that Jesus described. These are the very words of Christ. He said, "I'm in agony in this fire. I'm tormented in this flame." Well, certainly, righteous dead are not speaking through the bodies of mediums because they're in the glory. The spirits of departed dead who were not Christians, wicked people, are not speaking through the bodies of spiritist beings, of spiritist mediums. Well, who is? Lying spirits, dark demons, wicked demons. Somebody says, "Well, how is it, for instance, that some people can, mediums can have seances, and a person can give out all kinds of detailed information about Uncle Joe that died 50 years ago?" Well, that's not hard to answer. The demon knows that. He probably lived around there a long time, long before Uncle Joe was around. He has all that information. He is a lying spirit. And he purports to be the spirit of Uncle Joe or whomever. And thus tricks gullible people and leads them to damnation and torment. May God deliver us from these wicked spirits. Protect us with the blood of Christ and His righteousness. Which He does, thank God. And help us to take our stand firmly, as Ephesians 6 tells us we ought to do, against those wicked powers that are all around us, crusading against us to tear down our faith and to ruin our testimony. No, it is not possible to contact the dead. God has sealed them away from us. We cannot talk to them, nor should we try. Because if we do try, we will be victimized by lying spirits who purport to be departed spirits, but who are not, and who are the agents of the devil. Dear friend, if you are in the grip and power of Satan tonight, Jesus can save you. Jesus can lift you. Jesus can cleanse you. May you come to Him tonight and be saved. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Every head bowed for a moment as we pray.